take your Bibles, if you will, and please turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, James chapter 3, and Proverbs chapter 6. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, James chapter 3, where we'll be for our sermon, and Proverbs chapter 6. A young man was sent to Socrates for lessons on public speaking. On being introduced to the philosopher, he talked so incessantly that Socrates asked for double fee. "Why charge me double?" asked the young man. "Because," replied the orator, "I must teach you two sciences. The one, how to hold your tongue. The other, how to speak." Let me read to you from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. We were on our first missionary trip to Honduras. And Brother John Eddy was asked to bring a devotion. And this was the verse that he used, and I have never forgotten it. He said that he and his brother had gotten into an argument, and his mother had sent them to their respective bedrooms and told them to memorize 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11. And it says, "And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you." And that ye study to be quiet. Our lesson today is on the tongue. The psalmist wrote, Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." We live in a very busy world, and even though we may not be physically doing something, we are watching something on our media sources or televisions, and we are doing something all the time, it seems like. But it would do us good to be still, to be quiet, and let the Lord lead. James chapter 3, we'll begin reading at verse 1. James chapter 3, and beginning at verse 1. "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of first fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." Dear Heavenly Father, as we come this morning, we ask, Lord, that you would bless this time as we look into the Word of God. And Lord, as we have these thoughts about the tongue, may, Lord, we give it over to you. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. I'd ask you to turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 6. It is a verse that I have used a couple of times in the last couple of weeks. We all know it. It's the six things that the Lord doth hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And as we read the seven things, we'll quickly realize that three of them have to do with the tongue, with speaking. And so we begin at verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. An abomination. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, and feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. A lying tongue, a false witness, and he that soweth discord. Seven things that the Lord hates. A proud look, arrogance. That was Satan's problem. Arrogance, his beauty. We find the lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. I read that last year that the number one cause of death in the world was abortion. Hands that shed innocent blood. And a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Our world is full of pornography. We think of the human trafficking that's occurring in our world. All about money. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. And these last two of those that speak lies and sow discords. And yet we find in the book of James, we're told that a perfect man is one who does not offend with the tongue. James chapter 1, verse 19, James 1, 19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." James describes the tongue as a fire, a world of iniquity, full of deadly poison. It's an unruly evil. We know that the tongue gets us into trouble. I would dare say that everyone that's watching would say there has been some time in which I wish I would have held my tongue. Those couple of seconds that I gave my opinion, I gave them a piece of my mind, and it has caused longing and hurt feelings. James further implies that most living things can be tamed, yet the tongue can no man tame. It must be given over to the Lord. A number of years ago, at the close of a revival service, the evangelist said, "Tomorrow when you come, plan to bring, to put on the altar, that item that causes you the most problems in your Christian walk. And we'll plan on leaving it on the altar." But for those who have your tongue as your major problem, don't wait for tomorrow. Do it tonight. It's amazing how many people have problems with their tongue. One commentator wrote, "The power of speech is one of the greatest powers God has given us. With the tongue, man can praise God. He can pray. He can preach the word and lead the lost to Christ. What a privilege. But with the same tongue, he can tell lies that can destroy a man's reputation or break a person's heart." Unquote. James will use six objects in talking about the tongue: a horse's bit, a ship's rudder, fire, a poisonous animal, a fountain, and a fig tree. Point number one, the power to direct. There is great influence in one's tongue. To guide, to teach, to proclaim love, but also to destroy. James uses two small items that guide: the horse's bit in the mouth and the rudder of a ship. Both are small in comparison to the body or to the ship. The bit controls the headstrong horse. The rudder moves the ship in the direction the captain would want it to go, even in rough waters. But both must be controlled by a strong hand. Solomon said that death and life are in the power of the tongue. David prayed, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing." Incline not my heart to any evil thing. Psalm 141, 3 and 4. Jesus said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Matthew chapter 10. Warren Wiersbe writes, "When Jesus Christ is the Lord of the heart, then he is Lord of the lips too." Unquote. The tongue affects the lives of others. Proverbs 12:22, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord." We read how seven sins are an abomination to the Lord, and another here, the lying lips. Proverbs 15:1, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." So one was the power to direct. Number two, the power to destroy. Verse 6 talks about the tongue as a fire. In verse 8, a deadly poison. A concerned citizen warned that a careless tossed cigarette can cause great damage, recalling a beautiful forest in California's Redwood region that was destroyed by someone's lit cigarette. And we all remember the story of the cow in O'Leary's barn in Chicago at 8:30 p.m. Some of you were there October the 8th, 1871. And because that fire spread, over 100,000 people were left homeless. 17,500 buildings were destroyed, and 300 people died. It reportedly cost the city over $400 million. Now, that was in 1871. Who knows what that would relate to in today's money? All because of one simple fire. Our words can start fires, causes divisions, divorces, fights, murders, people trying to push buttons to get reactions. The tongue. Proverbs 26:20 and 21, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." The tongue. How sad it is when a church member cannot control their tongue, and the result is devastation and destruction. Again, David writes, "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me." Keeping control of the tongue. How often we think that one last remark, one last stab will get our point across. And oftentimes all it does is create division. Fire not only starts small and grows, but it creates heat and it defiles. Jesus was repeatedly attacked verbally. While on the cross, he was mocked and challenged. Even there threw at him the thought, "If you are the Son of God." Yet we find in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. I've often pondered how hard that must have been for him not to have responded, for him not to have told them exactly what he thought. But all he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I've often wondered how hard it must have been for the angels to stand by and not do anything as corrupt, cruel men beat our Lord and hung him on a cross. Fire spreads. And the more fuel you give it, the faster and farther it will spread. We find in James 3:6, the tongue is setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Our enemy, the evil one, desires to create division and hatred and frustration, because when we are angry, we are not doing the will of the Lord. Not only is the tongue a destructive fire, it is a poisonous serpent. How many times has some malicious person injected a bit of poison into a conversation, hoping it will spread and finally get to the person he or she wants to hurt? The desire to hurt verbally. Oh, they say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Whoever said that was lying, because it does hurt. Today we hear of cyberbullying, hiding behind a computer and writing out lies and vile and vulgar statements. Cyberbullying, cyber bombs, and cyber mobs attacking the innocent. Or maybe they are guilty, but the whole world doesn't need to know. Power to direct, power to destroy, power to delight. Fire can be controlled. Animals can be tamed. And so also the tongue, when given over to the right influence. With this, we have two last thoughts: the fountain and a fig tree. No water, no life. I took a drink of water this morning because I was thirsty. There's something about water. And one thing about a fountain, it cannot have both sweet water and bitter water. Maybe you've been to somebody's house where the water smelled like rotten eggs. Not very desirable to drink. And it's always going to be that way. It is not going to produce sweet water. We find that the fig tree does not have olive berries. It has figs. Our tongue, it's to be controlled. Our tongue. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Proverbs 18:4. Again, from the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Solomon says in Proverbs 18:21a, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So as a well cannot give both sweet and bitter water, and as a fig tree cannot have olive berries, our tongues are to be used for one thing, and that's for good. Not easy. Being in our human nature as we are, and so often wanting to be heard and wanting to be right, we say things oftentimes we later regret. We know that in Bible times that the trees were very important to the economy. They helped hold down the soil, they provided shade, but most importantly, they bore fruit. Our words can help shelter and encourage a weary fellow believer and feed the hungry soul. Have you ever heard the statement, don't kick them when they're down? So often that's what we want to do. We want to pile on. We want to give our 2 cents. Many times wishing we'd have kept our mouth quiet. How often we've had to take our foot out of our mouth because of something we said. The lips of the righteous feed many, Proverbs 10:21. Just as the roots of a tree are very important and necessary for its growth and stability, so we need to be rooted in our Lord and in His love. Proverbs 12:18, there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Which tells us that our tongue can either be as a piercing sword or it can bring health. How is your tongue today? Who controls it? Conclusion. If the tongue is inconsistent, there is something radically wrong with the heart. If you desire to be constantly negative and critical, there is something radically wrong with the heart. If your desire is to tell the latest gossip, there is something radically wrong with the heart. If your language is vile and vulgar, there is something radically wrong with the heart. And this includes texting and emails and those things that you send on Facebook. The tongue that blesses the heavenly Lord and then turns around and curses man made in God's image is in desperate need of spiritual cleansing. Many of us need to have our mouth washed out with spiritual soap. We need to get our hearts right with the Lord. How easy it is to sing the hymns during the worship service and then after the service, get in the car and argue and fight all the way home, or gripe and complain about everything and everyone. To quote one of the writers of the epistles, my brethren, these things ought not to be. The problem, of course, is not the tongue. It's the heart. It is easy to have bitter envying and strife in our hearts. But Jesus said, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man, Matthew 15:18. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, Proverbs 4:23. As we fill our hearts with God's word and yield to the Holy Spirit, He can use us to bring delights to others, and we will be refreshing fountains and trees. In closing, let me suggest that you start using the 12 words that can transform your life. 12 words, please and thank you. You should be willing to say thank you for the meal that has been served, or please for the item that you want. We should teach our children to use those words. We need to use them in our daily walk, our daily life. The next two are words that we don't want to have to use, but should be. I'm sorry. Have you had to say I'm sorry lately and didn't do it? Yes, I had to use the word I'm sorry lately to my wife. You know, the fact is that sometimes we do something wrong or do something insensitive, or sometimes we do something that hurts someone's feelings. We need to say I'm sorry. And may I say this, if someone comes to you and says that, you know, you did something that offended me, the first thing we do oftentimes is try to defend ourselves, when in reality we ought to say, I'm sorry, and go from there. I love you. Those are important words. I love you. And the last four, I'm praying for you. 12 words that can transform your life. Please, thank you. I'm sorry. I love you. I'm praying for you. Yes, the smallest but largest troublemaker in all the world is the tongue. But it need not be. Give God your tongue and your heart each day and ask Him to use you to be a blessing, not a burden to others. Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these thoughts from the book of James. And Lord, may we apply them to our lives. We that are born-again believers should follow the example of the apostles and of the Lord who were able to study to be quiet, who were able to hold their tongue, and even in times of persecution proclaimed your honor and your glory. Help us, Lord, to be good Christian testimonies with our mouths. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And with thanksgiving, Amen.